This is fun! The FU Network.
Welcome to Canadian Politique. I'm Cameron Bishop.
I'm Leanne Goodman.
I'm Mike McDougall.
Today on the pod, we're going to talk about the Conservative Civil War and what's going to happen to Conservative leader, for now, Andrew Scheer. Also, quick, want to talk about China and also just what we're expecting with the throne speech on Thursday slash any fallout from, well, not even follow, but our thoughts on the cabinet posts that were announced by the Prime Minister a couple of weeks ago. We've been a little bit delayed, but we can offer an opinion on that. So Mike and Leah, let's jump right in. So Conservative leader...
Oh, my God.
So Conservative leader...
Sorry,
Andrew
I have to
Scheer.
Apologize for a couple of things.
Yes.
I have a cat who's going mental and keeps meowing in my face. And a contractor was supposed to show up at 8 to do work, and guess when he showed up? At
just
25
now.
After 10, so literally 5 minutes ago. So if you hear sawing and many loud industrial noises and a meowing cat, I apologize. But let's
are you building a cat house or something, or what are you doing?
I have to have the cat in with me so that because he's allergic to the cat. I'm stressed out. Okay.
Oh God, that is some stress.
Let's go.
Okay, well, here. I hope you brought. I hope the litter box isn't in there as well with you because fumes can be deadly. Just want to say that those ammonia fumes
you really don't
can
like
be problematic.
Cats, I saw you tweet hating about cats just the other day.
Oh, only because of that
meme.
Like okay,
kidding.
First, we'll talk about that in a second. All right, Andrew Scheer. Election was, I guess, for him, not a very good night. It was good for the rest of the country. He is getting some serious incoming from folks who were associated with the former Prime Minister, Stephen Harper, folks like Corey Tenecki, Jenny Byrne, others as well. Even Canada Proud founder Jeff Ballingall. Has also piled on with him. There are sniping behind the scenes. And just this past Sunday, actually, on CTV's Power Play, what's his name? Evan Solomon. Sorry, I always get him mixed up for art dealers. Evan Solomon. Evan Solomon asked Corey what he thought the chances were that Andrew Scheer would survive till April, which is the mandated convention and leadership review vote date. And he said 100% he would not. And also stepping into the breach this week to help Andrew Scheer write his shoddy leadership was liberal turned conservative Leona Alislev, the member of parliament for Aurora. Or Markham Aurora or something like that. I can't quite remember who now is best known for saying that there shouldn't be any problems with Andrew Scheer not marching in a gay pride parade or a pride parade rather, because at the end of the day, does anybody ask if people walk in St. Patrick's Day's day parades? Really bang up job there, Leona. Just really great. So Leanne, what do you think? How long does Andrew Scheer survive? Can he survive? And what should we expect?
I don't think he's going to survive, and I don't really understand why he's hanging in. Like, it's pretty clear that the party is moving quietly against him. When you get guys like Corey tonight coming out and saying he's got to go, that's a pretty good indication that he's on his way, but I don't understand why he would prolong it. Like, they don't like you. He said something again the other day. He was asked a direct question about homosexuality or same-sex marriage or something, and he wouldn't answer, right? Like, he just won't address the issue. And I've talked to a fair number of sort of red Tories over the past few weeks who are just absolutely appalled by the guy and understand that Canadians aren't where, even conservative Canadians aren't where he is on social issues. So I don't understand why he's doing damage to the party by hanging in. He should just get out. Nice try, Andrew. You suck. Leave. Like, how about a nice red Tory, right? How about a nice, like, socially liberal, fiscally conservative candidate? I would vote for that party.
Would you vote for Rona Ambrose?
It's their social issues. Yeah. I would vote for Lisa Raitt. I'd vote for a red Tory woman in particular. They have such an opportunity in front of them, right? It's such a great opportunity. You can see from the results of the election, The Canadians are willing to go there, but where they lose is on this social conservative bullshit and the nastiness of that campaign that turned people off. people were afraid to vote for him and were willing to overlook blackface rather than vote for everything that he represents. So they've got this amazing opportunity. They could beat Trudeau next election, and who knows, that could be in 2 years. So grab the bull by the horns, find a nice, progressive, fiscally conservative, intelligent female candidate, and people like me will vote for you. It's really weird that they're not doing it. Anyway,
all right, Mike.
That's my thought.
I would not vote for a red conservative, but let's digress on that for a second. My plan was just to kind of say, Leanne touched on it, but I'm just going to echo it. I mean, the fact that Trudeau won the election when he was caught in blackface 3 weeks before the vote says that he's the wrong guy to lead that party. Like, who loses that election? But like, who actually, like, I feel like a Tim Hortons coffee cup could have won that election against Justin Trudeau with how badly things went for Trudeau, and he won. And to me, that would be, I mean, I expected Andrew Scheer to resign during his concession speech. How do you stay as leader when you can't beat a blackface prime minister? Like, how do you stay in power? We can go through all of the reasons, the social reasons, of course. I mean, Andrew Scheer, if I was a conservative, and I'm not, but if I was, and I'm looking now at the election saying, like, Jesus Christ, could he not have just, you know, handled the gay pride question a little bit better, we'd be in power right now. Like, it must be completely infuriating for anyone on the CPC side right now that was kind of hoping to have a job in the federal government that now doesn't, mm-hmm. because Andrew Scheer blushed beet red when he was asked if he could walk in a parade. Like, that is unacceptable. They gift wrapped. You're never going to have an election ever again, hopefully. Oh my God, I hope not. Where the incumbent leader is hit with that many, whether they're fake or not, that many scandals leading up to the vote, and he still wins. Like, I don't think this election was an indictment on Trudeau's popularity. It was an indictment on Scheer's unpopularity, and that's why he lost. And I'm really surprised he's still there. And the only reason I can think of him still being there is because, aside from his illustrious career as an insurance salesman, he's never had a real job before. This is all he knows what to do.
Insurance broker.
Yeah,
whatever.
You wonder about Harper, because a lot of the Harper people, like, Harper's been his mentor, right? Harper's been the puppet master behind the scenes. Harper, and I think Loreen as well, even said recently, he shouldn't resign. He should stay where he is. We're going to build. Whatever she said, that person who I'm largely becoming unenamored with, and I didn't mind her back in the day because of her cat obsession. You wonder what he's saying behind the scenes, because a lot of Harper loyalists, including Corey Tenaik, are saying this guy's got to go. And I just would love to be a fly on the wall to know what Harper's saying and doing behind the scenes right now, and how pissed off he must be. And that pleases me so much, that Scheer's defeat must have, like, Trudeau's winning another mandate must have really almost driven Harper crazy. But anyway, love to know what he's saying behind the scenes and what he's encouraging Scheer to do.
Harper is just so perpetually bitter. Like, he fancies himself a statesman, flies around the world, and takes pot shots at Trudeau. Or in the first convention for the UCP this past weekend, he was featured on the video, again, trashing, of course, the NDP, but also the federal Liberals. I mean, he is anything but a statesman. Don't let the white hair and ice blue eyes fool you. But I've kind of wondered, I don't think Scheer can survive either through to April, but I wonder if Corey and Jenny Byrne and others who are kind of coming out, these former Harper loyalists, may be preparing a return for Harper. Because clearly he always has had a chip on his shoulder. He's the only one that the conservative base likes and that has stuck with them all the time, even though he's, you know, as miserable as possible and would never march in a pride parade or do anything progressive on social issues. He does seem to be able to keep the crazies in the tent. So I kind of wonder if behind the scenes Harper's plotting a return, which I don't know if that would be good or bad for the Liberals. I kind of think it would be good, because I imagine that a number of NDP supporters would really thunder their way back to the Liberal Party and deliver another majority, but I don't know. But I agree.
I don't really think so. I don't doubt that Harper might want to do that. But that party didn't like him as he was on his way out the door. And if Peter MacKay is doing what he's doing behind the scenes and organizing behind the scenes, there's no way that's happening, right? I think they'd rather take a chance on someone new like MacKay than they would go back to Harper. He wasn't liked in that party towards the end. So I don't know. And I've heard there's a lot of resentment.
Do you think a red Tory could even win?
Yeah. I do.
See, and
I think the base is too right wing.
I don't think that you could ever get to that 50%.
So then you don't get them. Yeah, but Cameron, where else are they going to go? It's not the base that you need to vote, because they're going to always vote for you anyway, or else they're just not going to vote. You need to get liberals.
No, I'm talking the membership.
Right? You need to get liberals.
Membership base.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, I don't know.
Like, even if you wanted, like, Erin O'Toole, Lisa Raitt, there were some, you know, quote unquote red Tory candidates last time. And, you know, Erin O'Toole, I guess, was the closest and he wound up coming in third. He's kind of said that he's supporting it. He has said, frankly, not kind of, that he supports Andrew Scheer's continued leadership. And Lisa Raitt during the leadership battle flamed out, I think, on the first or second ballot. So I don't know if it's even possible. I mean, look at who the final two came down to.
Well, then if I were them, I'd think very, very hard.
Or Scheer.
Yeah. Well, then if I was that party, I'd be thinking very hard about reorganizing their stupid convention structure, which was stupid anyway, right? Like, Scheer didn't actually really win. He was everybody's second or third choice, which is a weird way to pick a leader. So
yeah,
if I were that party right now, I'd be thinking about a different way to do the convention and go with somebody who's going to win. Find somebody that liberals are going to vote for, or else you'll never get reelected.
Also, on the liberals, I just want to ask a quick question. The Nanos put out a poll the other day, or I guess a daily tracking poll or weekly tracking poll of leadership scores, and the Prime Minister has 38.5%, I believe it is today, and opposition leader Scheer is down at 21.5, and Jugmeet and I think is even lower than that, around 15% or 14%. Is the Prime Minister having a good strategy here by keeping his head low, not for Scheer, but just for his own brand? Like, are we seeing a maturing of, or an understanding of, the need for him just to kind of focus on brass tacks, less flash, more substance? And is that why we're seeing kind of a rebound when, you know, during the election campaign, him and Scheer, even though he pulled it out of the hat in the end, they were pretty well neck and neck in leadership scores and, of course, party polling as well. So good strategy for the Prime Minister, Mike.
Absolutely. I mean, the CPC right now is kind of imploding from within, and it doesn't take, you know, a four-star general to understand that when your enemy is fighting amongst itself, why do anything? Let them do it, right? If he puts his head above and says something that the CPC thinks is controversial, that would be what they need to kind of rally around. They need an issue to rally around. Right now, he's not giving them anything, so they're just fighting from within. Let them fight. You don't give them a reason to stop fighting each other. Let them just duke it out, and he can sit there and run the country any way he sees fit. And well, not he sees fit, but you know what I'm trying to say. Don't interrupt your enemies when they're fighting from within. Don't, just leave them. That's like a normal. That's just normal strategy at any time.
Yeah,
Leanne,
I do get the sense, although I don't know what I'm basing it on. So, you know, don't take me terribly seriously, but I do get the sense that he was sort of humbled by that difficult election campaign, that he realized people don't like him, that they think he's a bit of a complete goof at best and a racist, elitist, rich boy at worst, and that he embarrassed himself with the tickle trunk in India, and the blackface was so mortifying. I get the sense, just watching him, that he seems slightly humbled and embarrassed. I mean, his status on the international stage has been really badly tarnished, right? So that is going to lead to a come to Jesus moment if you're a normal human being. And he does strike me as somebody who is willing to acknowledge his flaws. So I do get the sense he's going to govern a bit differently. He seems a bit more humbled to me, a bit less flashy, a bit embarrassed, slightly ashamed of himself, which is all good, right? Some humility is not going to hurt that guy. So I actually think this minority could be really good government. He's going to smarten up a bit, realize that he has to build alliances and stop making such a fool of himself internationally and elsewhere, and grow up a bit. I do get that sense from him, but who knows? I'm just basing that on my own.
I think you're right. I think that he is kind of buckling down. Not that I thought that he was a lazy dilettante before at all. I mean, I didn't. I voted for him in 2015, knowing that, you know, he had a learning curve. I thought he did a solid job over the last 4 years. I mean, we have one of the most progressive governments in the world. And certainly, like you said, now with the minority, it's an opportunity to kind of continue that, if not accelerate a little bit more. The economy is doing well. But I think he does look less... this is not the right word I'm thinking of, but less smarmy when he comes to the microphone. Even when he's speaking, he doesn't
almost slightly less sure of himself.
Yeah, and maybe that's not such a bad thing. Like,
which is
said.
Good. I think that's good. He almost seems slightly like not as confident in himself as he used to, which I honestly think for a guy like that is good. He doesn't lack confidence, right?
So
maybe it's
so
good
tomorrow
he's having a bit of a crisis. Yes. Sorry,
tomorrow, actually, no, it's fine. I agree with both of you. My point being is that he does just seem not, I want to say off his game, but it's not even off his game. I think he's realized that there's a new game, and that's called governing.
Yes.
And less flash. And I think that that's actually for the benefit of, I mean, everybody. One person I will say, just before we turn to the throne speech, who's kind of, again, fallen into his old patterns, is Jagmeet Singh. He's always good between elections, during elections. But, you know, yesterday he posted with his new member of parliament for Nunavut. He posted a video of him and her doing a dance. And I just was tired of that. But the other thing, too, is that he's decided that he has really very he thinks he has lots of leverage. He really doesn't have a lot of leverage because the Bloc and the Greens, even though they have even less leverage than the NDP, the Bloc and the Greens seem more intent on cooperating. While Jagmeet Karp's veiled threats and insults from the sidelines, which I kind of find disappointing. So I feel like while the Prime Minister might be maturing, and we thought that Jagmeet Singh was showing some degree of maturity, we can say full maturity on the campaign trail, but anyway, that he's digressing, thinking that he's the most powerful guy around. And I think you also saw, when we talked the last time, a couple of weeks ago, it was he had just said about some MPs who lost their jobs. Well, that, you know, too bad that happens. And, you know, he's kind of adopted this mantra of the arrogance and the showman that the
right.
Prime Minister seems overly desperate to share, shed. So I kind of find that transformation interesting. And I know that you two are fans of Jagmeet. I, however, am obviously not, but I do notice that he's almost, you know, he's just reverted from whatever lessons he saw on the campaign trail. He doesn't look like he's serious, and he kind of looks like he's happy with the third place or fourth place in the House of Commons. I don't know. It just, it's very bizarre antics, but maybe he saves his best material for voting time.
I don't see it that way.
Okay.
I mean, you're judging him based, like, so we had a dance in the North, like who, I don't, I feel like you're nitpicking him because you don't like him. Like,
no,
you know,
I'm not even, I'm not picking on him because I don't like him, but he has not really come to the table with anything constructive. His meeting with the Prime Minister, okay, fine, was cordial. But you know, he comes out after and he's like tossing threats around, and you know, he's all about show. He's always been about show. I was in an event with him where he did a Bollywood dance from the back of the room up to the front. I mean, he's always doing these kind of things. And I think, again, the country got tired of seeing Trudeau do
these
kind of things.
Well, at least he's not culturally appropriating.
Yeah. I mean, he's doing a Bollywood dance. If he came in doing the moonwalk, I'd be like, come on, man, what are you doing?
No, but he was doing an Inuit dance.
A Fred Astaire tap dance.
Yeah. Who
I just
cares?
Like
so that's his personality.
Dancing.
I don't know. I mean, look at Kamala Harris on the campaign trail. She's never stopped dancing since she announced. It's what they do. It's just show. It's showing their personality. I have no problem with that. Jagmeet Singh is third he's not the opposition leader. He's in third. He did a good job of bringing his issues to the forefront during the election. And, you know, right now, as we speak, we should have recorded this a little later. Justin Trudeau is like on CNN with Donald Trump, and he's making Donald Trump talk about climate change. And Donald Trump right now is literally saying, that the water in the rivers are very important to me. Donald Trump doesn't say that shit without Trudeau pushing him. And part of the reason why Trudeau is pushing him, not saying that Trudeau doesn't believe in climate change himself, but Jagmeet Singh has pushed that agenda to the forefront, and now Trudeau's getting the President of the United States to talk about it. So, you know, what do you want the guy to do? He can dance all
the time. We don't know that Trudeau wouldn't have done that anyway. We don't know that Trudeau wouldn't have braised that anyway, because he sort of likes to subtly shame Trump on the international stage. But funny we should talk about the throne speech. Apart,
which is pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
The throne speech, yes. Let's go
speaking
there.
Speaking of the throne speech, Jagmeet came out the other day after the meeting with the Prime Minister and said he would be looking
it's
for Jagmeet, certain things in the throne
Jagmeet.
Speech. Sorry. Why do I do that? Yelena.
I don't know. It's
Yelena.
Like, you always, Jagmeet, you always want to call him Jagmeet.
You make him an Eastern European.
I always do it.
Like.
I do it to Jays all the fucking time. Anyway. And my cousins, Yane, Yoni, Jan, Yuli, and Yil. Anyway.
And
sorry,
Yil.
Bobby.
Okay, good.
I don't know why I fucking do it. Please make me stop. In any event, he came out of a meeting with Trudeau the other day and said he'd be looking for the throne speech to see that there's going to be support for more healthcare investments, climate action, Indigenous justice. That's all great. But let's face it, I think Trudeau is probably going to do a lot of that anyway, right? If he wasn't going to, he's a bit of an idiot. Because it's pretty clear that he has to do some of that stuff now that he's in the minority situation. And I do think that maybe we're going to see something on pharmacare and dental care in the throne speech. Certainly stuff on Indigenous issues, I hope, but I think you can't avoid it. I think he's got to. He's always walking this difficult tightrope on climate change because, yes, he believes in that climate change is real and he wants to, you know, he's all for the carbon tax, but
he'll talk about gun control too.
So, yeah, absolutely. That's an easy one.
Yeah.
So I think you'll see all that stuff in the throne speech, and I don't know how much it has to do with Singh and whoever is going to be the new Green Party leader. Who is going to be the new Green Party leader? We can talk about that another time. But so it'll be interesting to see. This is his first minority government throne speech. He's going to have to try to make a lot of people happy, and we'll see how he does.
Yeah.
Mike, you think it's going to be gun control, climate change, pharmacare? What do you think? Anything going to surprise you?
Tax cuts. He'll do tax cuts. He'll do everything he talked about on the campaign. I mean, what else can he do? Like, he has a minority government. The election just happened like a month ago. What else can he possibly – I think watch his press conference, and I can't right now because I'm talking to you guys, but watch his press conference with Trump, and I bet you that's a precursor for it, right? He's going to talk about – because he's at NATO right now, right? So he's at the NATO conference. He's going to come back. He's going to talk about all the things he hit on in his campaign. And Bob Zhonkel, like, why wouldn't he do that? He just got elected under that platform.
I agree with you.
Doesn't make sense.
He just made himself look pretty bad. Trump
right
apparently asked Trudeau Trump asked Trudeau apparently, what's your contribution to NATO? And Trudeau says he's increased spending by 70%. Trump presses Trudeau. Trudeau looks to an advisor and confirms it's 1.4%. Quite different than 70%. Oops. Anyway.
Well, no, but when you've increased it by 70%, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
But
yes, maybe
but
it's 70% from
1.4%.
Trump thinks
it's such a – he thinks it's, you're actually giving money. Like, it has nothing to do with actually sending a check to somebody. Like, but he's too boneheaded to understand it. At any rate, last thing I want to just ask, Cabinet Shuffle, I know it's old news, but – Chrystia Freeland, Deputy Prime Minister. We've seen Catherine McKenna moved over to infrastructure and communities where she can continue to talk about the effects of climate change and preparing communities across the country with new infrastructure to deal with it. Any other surprises in there that that caught you? I thought the Chrystia Freeland one was inspired, and I think she'll do a good job, but I think the premiers, in particular Scott Moe and Jason Kenney, will have a tough road to hoe with her, because she is not a pushover, and I think that they're used to being able to kick around whoever they want.
That is true. I agree with you on that front, but I also think it's going to be brutal for her, because Western Alienation, The Conversation actually did a really good piece where they did a deep dive on who actually supports Western Alienation or Western Wexit. It's all fucking
Wexit
guys. It's all men. It's all male dominated. And can you imagine how she's going to, the rough ride she's in from all the misogynists out there, and not just there. I mean, look at Catherine McKenna face it in Ottawa. But you know, I think it's going to be a difficult, really nasty job for her. It's almost like a poison chalice. She's been asking to fix up some of the biggest liberal problems of the last 4 years. It's almost like you've heard of the glass cliff. Once it's great, they crash through the glass ceiling and then they go hurling off a glass cliff because they're supposed to fix all the messes that all the men before them have created or failed to address. So in a way, to me, it feels a bit like she's been handed a poison chalice. So I hope it works out. I hope she... You know, I actually was encouraged, because when she came out of that meeting with Kenny a week or so ago, he was actually quite positive. I thought, you know, don't be an asshole. Like, can we please not subject this woman to abuse and misogyny and treating her like she's an idiot and all the rest, everything else that every female politician gets? Like, could Kenny maybe rise to the occasion and treat this woman with some respect? I hope so, but I think it's going to be a really tough road for her. And it actually makes me uneasy, the abuse and the misogynistic attacks that you know she's going to face. Anyway,
that's Mike, my last rant. Word to you.
The only thing I would comment on is, you know, there's a lot of layers to any decisions, but I feel like a prime minister that just weeks ago went through a blackface scandal, appointing a minister of public safety, someone who spearheaded one of the most racist policies in Toronto police history with carding, is a bit it's a bit problematic. And I feel like he, you know, I'm borrowing this from a friend of mine, but he's kind of telling, you know, Trudeau's kind of telling on himself there, in my opinion. So I'll just leave it at that.
Interesting. Well, that is a good place to end, and kind of a surprise. I did not expect Bill Blair to be one of the discussion points today, but good way to end. All right, folks, we'll be back next week for real. And then that will be our last show until after Christmas. And in the meantime, you guys, get over and watch the press conference with the Prime Minister, and we'll tune in on the throne speech and dissect it next week. Have a good week, you guys.
Thanks, you guys. Nice talking to you.
Take care.
This is fun! The FU Network!